Well, Matt, it's time for our official Win Forever Wednesday, but something doesn't feel quite right this week because USC didn't win last week in Seattle. In fact, Trojans lost 16-13 to an upstart Washington team that's had a rough time as of late, but part of the Win Forever philosophy is to move forward as soon as possible, and that's a plan at USC with the Washington State Cougs coming to the Coliseum Saturday night. We welcome the Prince of the City, Pete Carroll, back to the Petterson Money Show on Fox Sports Radio. What's cracking, Coach?
Hey, getting right. Getting right. How about you guys?
Well, we're fantastic. Now, at your weekly press conference yesterday, you kept saying, you know, we got to kick it into another gear. Now, what does that mean? How do you guys kick it into another gear?
Well, by leaving what you can't deal with, you can't do anything about, behind you, you know, and making sure that we don't drag last week's event into this week, you know. That's the gear. We got to get out of that mindset, which I think, you know, I started with the guys immediately in the locker room after the game, and then we get going, you know. And so on Monday we got to figure out, you know, exactly what happened. We went through all that so they know how the game went and why it happened as it did. And then from there, you really got to get moving. And so that's what we've attempted to do. And we had a really good Tuesday, and we're underway.
Now, I don't want to backtrack too much, but what about the Aaron Korb situation? Was he not told that he was starting before the Washington game? I mean, obviously didn't perform great. Would you handle the situation similarly next time?
Well, the way it went, Petros, is that on Tuesday, I told them that it's all likelihood you're going to be playing, you're starting this football game. So get ready, let's go. You're going to get all the turns, and then we'll see how Matt does later on down the week. And I wanted to really drive Matt's focus to get him make sure he was ready. And so the reason for holding back on the announcement was to make sure that Matt had to stay focused. And I did the same thing with Taylor, you know, because he had never sat out before. And I didn't know how those guys would respond if they said, okay, you're not starting, you know, and we'll just see what happens. And then they might, you know, kind of have, you know, shut down a bit, as guys naturally do. So to keep them in the competitive mode was to keep them involved in the decision. And so we just moved right on through the week, and you know, Aaron never backed off being the starter. So, but I never did officially tell anybody outside, or even I didn't announce it to the team, which I wouldn't anyway. I mean, I don't announce who's starting, you know, games and stuff like that. But I advised him that it was okay to say that, you know, and so that it would be clear that he wasn't told clearly, and until, you know, he actually went out there and he's playing the football game.
Coach, Aaron taken a lot of the, I guess as far as the fans are concerned, a lot of the primary blame for that loss, whether that's fair or not. He clearly didn't play all that well. But going back to what we learned about Aaron in training camp in the spring from scrimmages last year, it just seemed like a performance that was not indicative of what we came to think he could do on the football field.
Well, you know, I tried to make it really clear. When you make enough mistakes in a game where you turn the ball over and different guys contribute, and then you have some penalties and you don't carry out, you know, the game the way you want to carry it out, that goes to the coach. And that's why I was real clear about that right from the start. Aaron has nothing to do with the blame of this ball game. And he didn't carry the ball that got fumbled, and he didn't carry the other ball that got fumbled. He could have played a better football game. He would agree with 1,000%, and I would too. But he was just one part of it. And so that's part of the life of being the quarterback. You're going to catch the heat, and that's the life that these guys live, and there's nothing you can do about that. That's the nature of the game. But this blame, if we're in a blame world, you know, we got to figure out who you want to point at. It starts with the coach, and that's me.
It sounds like the message boards. Pete Carroll joining us right now on the Petros and Money Show on Fox Sports Radio. What about the offense, Coach? I mean, the offense, just two touchdown drives in the last two games. How do you go about addressing it?
Well, we're just going to keep working to progress. We have to keep getting. We have to get back to the balance that makes us the offense that we love around here. And it's just taken a while, you know. And Ohio State had something to do with that. And our, you know, our, a lot of situations, you know, that contribute to how we can play. And we were backed up. It was a terrific team, and it was the rookie's first time, and all the other stuff. And then you come this week, and we didn't function very well. You know, we didn't. We turned the ball over, you know, three times going in. We were moving it. We ran the ball like crazy, and we had enough throwing game to have a successful game if we don't turn the football over. So as we grow with our young guys, and we have to make sure we're doing the right things so that they can function well, it's a little bit of a process here. We were hoping to be popping out of it here week three or four, but we may still be working through it. and it's going to take a while.
And you talked about it Monday. Fumbles will no longer be tolerated. You had fumbling problems.
No. They've never been tolerated.
Never
been. They've never been tolerated.
Never been tolerated. Yeah. And Joe McKnight is a guy who's put the ball on the ground a couple times. He's got more fumbles than touchdowns in his career. Stephon Johnson gave it up. Stanley Avili gave it up on a very odd play. How do you handle ball security with your backs, and especially Joe McKnight, because it does seem to be something that continues to come back and haunt him?
Well, you know, you're a running back. You know what the world is. You know, it's about the focus of doing things right, recognizing your situations, great emphasis, which we make tremendous emphasis in this area, but we have to continue to find more ways to make sense of it. And sometimes, you know, guys just don't get to play. And that's part of it. If guys contribute to make mistakes, you just have to go with other guys. But we really are on this thing, and we will continue to be, and we have a whole principle and approach and philosophy about it and everything. And it's been the number one emphasis in the program for going on 9 years. So we just have to, but it's a new season, and we've got to capture the focus and make sure we're doing things right. So that's what we're endeavoring to do, and we've got a ton of ways that we do that, and hopefully the results will turn.
Doing my due diligence in preparing for the contest this weekend and poring over those tremendous game notes that USC provides us with, Coach, I noticed something that jumped out at me that really caught my attention, and that is that USC has lost its Pac-10 road opener in 5 of your 9 seasons. Mm-hmm. And the past 3 times, you, of course, rebounded to have giant winning streaks, 11, 34 in a row after one. Can we make sense of that at all? Is there any reason why you think that's happened?
I think it's a real stumper. I don't understand why that would be. You know, somebody said, it's because you play the big games just before those games, you know, out and around the country and big matchups and stuff. But I think when that stat came to me, I was just as, you know, uncertain of why that would happen as anybody. That seems crazy to me. But the fact remains, you know, I think we went a few years in a row and that didn't happen. And then, but it's still a stat, you know, and you got to look at those things. But I don't know what the heck to do about it. If I can figure it out, I will. I promise you.
The one other thing that jumped out was touchdown passes. And you've only got 2 in the 3 games this season, 1 to DJ Shoemate, 1 to Rhett Ellison. What does that say about the passing game, about where you're at right now with these new quarterbacks and where you want them to be?
Well, we ain't throwing the ball very well right now. You can't get more clear. You know, you can look at the stats any way you want, and they will all come back to we're not very productive in the throwing game right now. And we've been restrictive and somewhat just to make sure that we're progressing, you know, step by step with the new guys playing. And it just got amplified last week, you know, when we really didn't get the ball down the field and make much of anything with the throwing game. And so that's just those numbers are going to follow, you know, what's happening. So there's no mystery there, but it is our effort to get right and to be the way we like being around here. We have to have a balanced attack, and that means it's pretty close to 50-50. And if you guys look back at your numbers, you'll see that over the years it's always been very, very close to 50-50, and that's in production and everything. We're not there right now.
Well, it's not lip service to say Pete Carroll and USC have set the bar pretty high, and when they don't perform, the city freaks out, but the defense has always seemed to perform. And what really stands out to me is Chris Galippo. I mean, did you expect this kind of production and leadership right away from Chris Galippo? And how's Malcolm Smith's ankle? Is he going to play against Wazoo? The linebacker's been great, Coach.
Well, we had hoped in recruiting Chris that he would be this kind of player, but after he got started and was banged up for a couple of years, we didn't know, you know, how he was going to be able to perform and produce. But he's been great. He's a great leader on the field. He's one of the smartest kids we've ever coached here. He really understands the game in a way that he can help other players play well. So you put all that together, you got a real valuable player there. So he's been very productive early. He's feeling good and learning. He's just as tough and aggressive and determined to do something about, you know, this last week as anybody. So we're very fortunate to have him right now. Malcolm's pretty banged up. He's got a pretty significant ankle sprain. He's doubtful, if at best, for this week. And it might be a 1 or 2 week deal here. So we'll have to wait and see. And so then that opens up the door and the opportunity for some other guys to jump in here. Luther Brown, one of those guys. Jordan Campbell, one of those guys. And Shane Horton, one of those guys.
You know, freshman defensive end Nick Perry has kind of been the breakout player, especially defensively. 4 sacks so far. How much more are we going to see of this guy? I mean, he's wacky.
Well, we'd be nuts not to put him in there more, because his numbers, for the number of plays he's had, the production has been extraordinary. So he's going to play a lot of plays this week, and he'll be all over the field. So hopefully we'll give him a few more chances. If his numbers keep going along with what he's been doing, he's going to be just ridiculously out there, you know, as a standout guy. So we're hoping for it. He's a great kid, and just as a redshirt freshman, pretty exciting.
Coach, prior to the season, it seemed like the offensive line was described as NFL capable. They were that good. They're all over watch lists, Lombardis and Remingtons and Outland trophies. But how do you feel about how they performed thus far? And what about O'Dowd maybe missing some early action before being reinserted into that lineup? Did that play into where they're at now?
Well, we averaged, you know, over 7.5 yards a carry and gave up no sacks last week, you know. So that's a pretty good performance for the O-line. They really can't do a whole lot more than that. And I think that, you know, the week two was a little bit, we weren't quite as sharp as we'd like to be. We got schemed pretty well, and we didn't adjust as fast as we would like to have. But we still were able to, you know, when we needed to, we could win the football game. So I think these guys have played really well, and we'll continue to, and we'll have the flexibility, you know, with pretty good depth here to keep this thing at a high level. So we're counting on those guys to continue to make it, you know, possible for the young quarterbacks to move along and to progress and see if we can keep going, you know, and I think they're very, very good, and they're a very instrumental part of this team.
Well, something we brought up a couple weeks ago after the first game was the special teams play, in particular the kicking game, and where you're at in the kicking game. You have a new punter, a new kicker. How do you feel about those guys in the situations? We saw something come up at the end of the first half where you couldn't get the unit on the field, and we've talked about punts, and it seems like Billy has gotten some punts inside the 20. He's getting the ball where you need it, but what about the actual overall performance, net yardage, that sort of thing, and where they're at as a unit?
Not as sharp as we had hoped. We're not kicking the ball very well, very consistently right now, and the competition at those spots continue to be part of what's going on in the practice field. It just hasn't been as, you know, as smooth the transition, and we've not hit the ball well. Now, Jordan Condon's doing a good job with his place kicks, but we haven't. Kicking off and punting the football is still something that we're working on. It's a bit of a mystery for us right now, but that's something that you'll just watch, and you'll see that there's some things we're trying to get done there here again this week to improve it. I think you should see from us, you know, continued consistent stuff, you know, in all areas. And we're trying to be pretty conservative in that area as always. And we don't want to give the ball away, which we did in, you know, that opportunity in the Ohio State game. On that, the situation on the field goal, you know, with 18 seconds dead on the clock, to run a play to try to make the first down and stop the clock is what we were trying to do. And we didn't make the first down, so we're in a mayday situation, which means you have to, you know, you're running on the field to do it. There's not, in that situation, it's really hard to get it done with 18 seconds. We know you can get it done in 22 seconds. We tried to cram it home because it was the only alternative we really had that we liked right there. So, you know, we could have gone for it on fourth down to try to make the first down again, you know, but we would have had to hurry to do that, and we thought we could take a shot. We've practiced this for years, and it just wasn't quite enough time to get it all set just perfectly.
Now, Coach, you beat Washington State 69-0 last year in the Palouse. Now, they're improved. They're a better football team, and they're coming off a win. How do you get the players' attention against a team like Washington State, who's still struggling to come back in the Pac-10?
It didn't have anything to do with Washington State or anybody we're playing, and it never is supposed to ever around here, but because it's about our performance and what we control and all of that. And so it doesn't really matter that, you know, whether they're from up north or they're from right across the street, you know, here. We need to go out and prepare to play our game the way we're capable of it, unlike what happened last week, and that's what the focus is. So it happens to be Washington State, and we're fortunate to be playing at home. It seems like it's been a long time, and we want to maximize, you know, the Coliseum's opportunity there and getting our game right. So Washington State is much improved. They just look quicker in everything they're doing. They have more athletes chasing the football on defense, and the receiving crew is different. And I know they just lost James Montgomery, who was off to a good start running the football for them. But, you know, we think that you can see across the board that it's just an improved football team. And I know they're all pumped up about a great come-from-behind win last week. And so they're going to come in here after looking at our game and thinking they got a great shot at it, and they're going to do everything they can to win it, and we got to not let that happen.
Well, USCRipsit.com, PeteCarroll.com, and abetterla.com. Pete Carroll putting in big work still on Win Forever Wednesday, looking to bounce back on Saturday night against the Cougs of Washington State. Coach, song of the day, how about them? You know, Van Morrison's first band?
Heck yeah, I got the old
album. Yeah, with Baby Please Don't Go.
That's a great song.
That's a strong song. You know,
That's a strong song. You're right.
Get the guys feeling all right.
All right.
Thank you very much, Coach.
See you guys.
All right.
Thanks, Coach.
Coach, thanks a lot.
All right, are you going to cut out that little burp in the middle there with the...
Yeah, that was...